Hi everyone, welcome back. Path to Self Sovereignty podcast. The first time I spoke to Charlie was April the 15th, which was 2 months ago now, April, May, June. A lot's gone on since then, mate, hasn't it?
Well, you know, it makes me smile because just the simple fact that when we started this, I started off with 37 subscribers on YouTube and I'm now over 21,000 and I'm getting over 500 messages and what have you a day.
Wow.
And it's very interesting, the journey that you and I have been on, seeing what's happening and people, what people are loving is somewhere that they can find the truth out, because most people know that they're being lied to. Is that too strong a word? Probably not.
Deceived, I think.
Deceived, yeah. It's fairly clear that the rulers that we've got in Europe make Hitler look like a Boy Scout when it comes to the way they're treated and the way they've tried to silence and control people. All right, they haven't killed all these people, but they've silenced them by putting masks on when it's completely unnecessary. They're trying to stop the freedom of speech, trying to stop people communicating.
It's like a symbol, yeah, I think. It's like a symbol. They're putting masks on people to shut them up. It's like
very much.
It's magic.
It is, isn't it?
If you don't see the symbols that they're throwing out, you'd never put two and two together. And you've got this guy who's said to have passed away in America, which is awful if it's true, because there are theories that it isn't true. And then people are marching down the street saying, "I can't breathe," with the masks on their face.
Yeah.
And it's all just symbology to me.
It is, very much so. And this is the time in your life that, and I've said it in a number of my videos, we need to use our common sense. We're blessed with it. And if you're worried about your moral compass and your common sense, go and talk to your grandfather or your grandmother. And if they're dead, go and talk to their friends, people in their 70s and 80s who've lived through many difficult times and have had to use their common sense before. Because all they'll do is they won't necessarily teach you much, but they'll re-educate you in what you knew, but you've buried away.
Mm.
And sometimes we need to be reminded about common sense.
Do you think it's because, especially like people my age, I mean, I'm only 28, do you think like people fairly young, they've had it so easy that when they see anything untoward, they just lose their shit?
Totally, totally. The younger generation in general, us old farts, we tend to refer to you as millennials.
Yeah.
Snowflakes.
Yeah.
You know, the slightest thing and it's so terrible. And I always give the example of climbing up a hill and climbing up a mountain. The new generation want to get straight to the top. Call an Uber, get to the top.
Yeah.
They don't realize to get to the top of any hill, you're going to climb up and you're going to fall off. You're going to cut your hands and you're going to cut your knees. But when you get there, the view is incredible. Whereas if you get up too easily, the view doesn't have the same impact. If you've got anywhere in life through suffering, then it has a value. And a lot of the younger generation especially, at this moment in time, are like little children in a car journey going, "Are we there yet?
Yeah.
Are we there?" No, we're not. We're nearly there. And as parents say, we're nearly there. And then why don't we play I Spy and see what's going on out the window, eh? While we're on the journey.
But these people are the ones who I'd consider the far left wing Antifa type people, middle class white folks who are just infiltrating the Black Lives Matter movement, for example, who are using it as a political ploy.
Very much so. Very much so. We have been controlled by the left wing without it being known for at least 10 years. They've infiltrated the media.
Mm.
The worst place they've infiltrated is the university. So the next generation that come out of university are already contaminated.
Mm.
And my little boy, who's 10 years old, was on his Zoom chat this morning with his school. And he's been watching my education and he's telling everybody the virus is a scam and the vaccine is a distraction and it's all to do with the global financial reset because the Rockefellers and the Rothschilds and the Federal Reserve have been... So, and he's telling these 10-year-olds and even the teacher's going, are you sure you've got your facts right? And he's gone, well, I've been checking with my daddy, and we've checked on this website and this website. And the teacher sat there going, really? So, and when you back it up with evidence, and this is the critical part, because it's very easy for people to go, well, Alex said, or Charlie said, or Mel Eve said, or Mike Shinton said. But if you can back this up with evidence, which we all can, because it's based on fact. And I was speaking this morning to a gentleman who's been exposing the complete scam of the pandemic. And he's been publishing the CDC pages, which tell you it's no worse than in any other year. And it keeps getting moved on their website and taken off. But he's a computer geek and he keeps finding it with a different title. And they keep, then he gets fact checked by Facebook for publishing facts. And I actually had a little run in with Facebook the other day because I published a government website and got fact checked on it. So I said, could they please clarify whether the facts that I published from the government are lies, in which case I'll take it up with the government as liars, or not. So I turned it around and they chose to ignore me.
I think the World Health Organization released something as well, and my friend shared that, and Facebook fact-checked the World Health Organization. So
exactly.
Who are we trying to believe here? Are we going to have to go down the path of you're either both lying, which I think is probably true.
Yeah. Yeah.
Or it's one of you. One of you's wrong. So
exactly.
What's what? Have you got any more information on Trump and what's going on in America?
He's doing an amazing job. He's got on top of it, and he basically. I described it yesterday, like taking out an old oak tree. He's got the oak tree out, and he's got the main bit of the roots out. Now he's getting all the straggly bits so they don't grow out again. He's totally, totally in control, and the alliance behind him are totally, totally in control. One thing you'll notice, that one of the people that's behind him that is hardly getting any airtime at all right now is Vladimir Putin. They're like naughty little boys together, but they're such a powerful force. And Putin has always hated the New World Order, always hated them. He's always said they were corrupt, they were evil, they were satanic, they were paedophile rings. A lot. He's always said that. And Trump's obviously working very closely with him. But no, he's on top of it, big style.
Because he's been very quiet, hasn't he, Putin? Unless you go out your way to search for him, you're not going to find anything.
No,
what's
exactly.
Been said.
Exactly. He's doing a lot of work behind the scenes to get rid of all this corruption. And Chairman Xi, the same. Like Chairman
Xi... That surprises me, that does, with him.
With who?
The Chinese guy, Chairman Xi.
Chairman Xi, yeah. He's, him and Putin, Donald Trump and Modi are working very closely together. The interesting thing with China, I don't know if you've known what's happened there, with the Communist Party has now been disbanded.
Well, I've heard this, but how true... Like, that guy, the American...
Steve Bannon.
Yeah, I saw that video, but nothing's been said about it since. Has there been any more information released about it?
We hear a lot more behind the scenes than you'll hear in the public domain.
Yeah.
Very simply, the Chairman Xi is taking over the new Republic of China. Chairman Xi, for the people who know the history, the Dragon family, who I know personally, have known for many, many years. I'm very close to them as a family. We know the family very, very well. They are of Himalayan descent, and they are founding fathers. And the Communist Party came in, took over, kicked them aside, but they still had control because they're a very, very powerful and dangerous family. The triads are the sort of dangerous wing of the family. But they're all in all, they're good people, but it's very difficult when you've got a communist regime that comes in and dictates to you and does whatever. So their power has now been weakened, but Chairman Xi will now front up the new party. So from the public's perception, they'll see no difference, because what will the swamp which surrounds him has already been removed. Whether they've just been imprisoned, executed, or just simply removed, that will not become public knowledge because of the regime. But they will be replaced by Chairman Xi with his own people to do with the new Republic of China. Now, a lot of people are unaware. People in the money markets have known about the dragon bonds, the golden bonds, the Chinese bonds, the yellow bonds. They're incredibly wealthy bonds, incredibly valuable bonds. And there are people in England who've got incredibly valuable Chinese bonds. Part of the arrests were to arrest the corrupt people who've got the bonds. But so I can tell you through the process that there was the value of the bonds is currently, as of last weekend, something like $100 quadrillion. That's the value of the bonds in total. They've monetized about 100 trillion of them in Switzerland last weekend. With the 100 trillion, they have completely cleared the US debt to the Federal Reserve. They have also cleared the Chinese debt to the Federal Reserve. They have also cleared the Russian financial debt to the Federal Reserve. The money has now been paid from the monetized money in Switzerland into the Federal Reserve, the old Federal Reserve.
Yeah, yeah.
The moment it arrived on Sunday, on Monday, there was a subpoena issued against the Federal Reserve for fraud. So the money has now been seized. So the debt has been cleared on paper.
Okay.
There is no debt. The money is in the Federal Reserve, but it's under investigation. And everybody knows, if you and I were printing $100 bills and selling them, we'd be in prison for a long time. So you don't need to be a rocket scientist to work out what's going to happen there. The Federal Reserve was a private company owned by the Rockefellers and the Rothschilds, and was printing money, which was not backed by gold.
Mm.
So that's that side. Now, with regard to the American, the new USN, the new US note, that's already been introduced and will run parallel to the US dollar. Again, the public will hardly be aware of it, but they'll phase it in so that you've got a new $100 bill, which will be the USN, but the new note will be backed by gold. So over the period of the next 12 months, they'll phase in new notes in America so the public don't panic, but they will be part of the USN rather than the USD, and the USD will be phased out because it's not backed by anything. It'll be worthless.
Right.
And the USN can be backed by gold, diamonds, any precious metals, but it has to be backed by something. Otherwise, it has no value. So America is on the route. So the power that the cabal and the deep state had was the Federal Reserve and the money. They had control of all the money. They've now completely lost control of all the money because that money is now under investigation by the United States of America. And it's fairly clear that if you print money and sell it, that's blatant fraud, whatever way you look at it.
Yeah.
So it won't be, look, we're in a beautiful period of our lives right now. We're moving into a purer, cleaner world. So that if I give you a pound, it's worth a pound. Not that before it was worth absolutely nothing.
So what do you think will happen to the value of gold and precious metals then? Do you reckon it will go up or go down based on that?
Between you and I and everyone who's watching us, gold and silver will go up. Both of them are being artificially suppressed.
Yes, correct.
Yeah. Right now, so that they can buy precious metals to back their currencies. And then once they've got enough to back their currencies, and the other thing that's become very clear is Donald Trump and his team have been working very, very closely with Africa and with the Far East, with the Philippines, Thailand, Malaysia, Indonesia, that have got a serious amount of gold over there. Mm. These countries have serious amounts of gold, diamonds, what have you. Now, Trump wants to acquire those at a fair price, but he wants the money to be used wisely in those countries to help everybody. So the money just stays in those countries to build the infrastructure. And it will be our duty and our job for a number of people around the world to go... One second, let me just... It will be our duty to go and educate and train these people in how to make bricks, how to build.
Right.
and how to build their lives.
Yeah.
Because I've said for many, many years, once you give these people, once you give them money and give them what is they believe is their own, they won't be stealing anymore. They won't be killing anymore. All this hatred for stealing and killing comes from the fact that what was rightfully theirs has been stolen from them.
Mm. So the money that's going over there needs to be used for infrastructure and setting a base for the future prosperity.
Totally, totally. 100%.
So when you go on the Federal Reserve website, it tells you their balance sheet, their asset base and whatever. Will there come a time in the near future then, or will they keep it from the public that you can go on there and it'll just say everything's...
For the last 10 years, all the facts on that website have been completely manufactured to satisfy the public. There's absolutely no truth in that website at all.
Right.
And it's a very difficult thing that but this is what we're coming out of. We're coming out of darkness into light. Mm. We're coming out of deceit. But it's a bit like in our old house, we used to have a really big fish pond in the lounge, a huge fish tank. And when the guys used to come around to clean it, they'd clean it, but it was still a bit musty for a few days. And then it settled and it was lovely and clean. And that's what we're going through right now. He's been draining the swamp, cleaning the fish tank, if you like, and it'll take time to settle. How long that time will take, I really don't know. But the most important thing for your viewers and my viewers to know is that the tank has been cleaned. Mm. The swamp has been drained.
Yeah, I think people just want to see something, don't they? Because they don't have faith in that it's going to, you know, come good or whatever. I mean, I've been in this, not movement, but I've been studying alternative news and whatever for 10 years now. And I know for certain that 90% of it's a load of rubbish.
Yeah, no, I agree with you.
So it's like you're having to discern between what's true and what's false. Because that's all we're doing. We're all just trying to find what's the truth. I mean, that's all we're doing.
But this goes back to the start of our conversation. This is where we need to use common sense. And I was doing an analogy yesterday. I've said right the way through that I got the four corners of the puzzle. And I got the box of bits to make the puzzle. And when I started looking in the box, there was other bits from other puzzles in there, which is King John III. That was the other puzzle.
Oh, we'll go on to that in a minute. Yeah, we'll go into that.
That was bits in the same box that I didn't even realize was in there. And then you can take what you just said. You can take pieces of that puzzle and they may well fit in, but they're the wrong way up. And it might be pieces from another puzzle that fit. Mm. So this is where common sense, and you have to, the way that I try and make my judgments is not just on one thing. I like to try and get it from two or three different angles and different perspectives and sit back and make my own judgment. And I tell you what, you get such a feeling of peace when you get three different perceptions and then you make up your own answer. You get a feeling of confidence, pride. And that's something that's lacking nowadays in a lot of men in the UK, a feeling of pride. The older generation, they're, you know, simple things. An older generation of men, most of the older generation of men over 70 have got a handkerchief in their pocket. Most of those under 50 have never even seen one. They're always using disposable ones. The older men don't carry a handkerchief to blow their nose. They carry it as a gentleman to hand to a woman if she's got a tear in her eye. It's the old story of being these old fundamentals, you know. Mm-hmm. We've got a lot to learn. And I think if we start listening, the extreme left are refusing to listen to anybody. I found with the extreme, even the extreme right, they're willing to listen. Extreme left are not. They've got their view, and if you don't understand it, you know.
They're the new fascists, aren't they?
Incredibly so. Incredibly so.
I think it was Ronald Reagan who said the next wave of fascism will be from the anti-fascists.
Yeah.
It's very true. Let's you mentioned a couple of days ago when we spoke somewhere about arrests in Barcelona.
Yeah, it was on the, I had it up on my screen, in the Euro Weekly, which is a free local Spanish paper. Look, I was woken up at the weekend at 1:30 in the morning by a really loud noise, a rumbling noise. And I got up, I wake up at anything. I went out on my bedroom roof patio and there was six military US planes, very low, with four helicopters. Now, that's unusual in itself. Mm-hmm. So I have people on the inside in Spain. And I said to them, what's going on? They said, oh, there's mass arrests being made in Spain. A lot of arrests being made. But the one thing I've learned is that only a fraction of it becomes public knowledge. So in the Euro, let me see if I can find it here one second, because I kept it up. Yeah, I've got it here. I'll move it across to the side screen here. So it's the Euro Weekly News, and it says there's 12 arrests. It doesn't say who they are. They might be government. They might be part of a gang. That's immaterial. But they've saved 1,000 victims. 1,000 victims. I mean, and the majority are women and children from human trafficking. And yet the mainstream media have completely overlooked it. Yeah. And that made me angry. You know, if one woman and child is saved, only one, then brilliant.
Yeah.
But 1,000 women and children have been rescued. And there's nothing in the media. And it comes out in the local freebie paper.
Yeah.
And I was told by my people, yeah, that there's been some operations in Madrid and Barcelona. Nothing in the mainstream media about the arrests and the freeing up of these children. But having said that, I was talking to one of the military intels in America, and he said, Charlie, for the people that are awake, that's fine. He said, but for people that are not awake, this would scare the living daylights out of them. Mm-hmm. And I tend to agree, because some of the things that are going on right now are incredibly scary.
Well, this is why I think sometimes it's better to actually not let people know.
Yeah, I think I agree with you on some of the things. You know, there's certain aspects that are absolutely disgusting, all to do with paedophilia and human trafficking. They're all linked in together. And it's just absolutely shocking. And people don't need to know about that sort of thing. They'll allow enough of it to come out so that people know, and that just sort of crept out, and I shared it with a few people.
I'm assuming you think the arrests in Barcelona and Madrid are linked, that it's all interlinked, you think?
All linked worldwide. All the deep state are all into these satanic child rituals. Yeah. It's absolutely disgusting. I'm not even going to go into it, but I looked down that rabbit hole, and it made me violently ill just to even consider it, because I love life and I love children in the right sense. Children, you know about it, and some people know, I lost my oldest son 11 years ago at 27 years old. That was painful, extremely painful. And I've been blessed with little Justin, who's here now, he's 10 years old. And I love being around him because he keeps me young and he keeps me fresh, and he loves coming along the journey with me, and we share wonderful moments, which with my older children, I was unfortunate not to have these precious times with them because of circumstance. But I'm extremely blessed in the way where we are right now.
Yeah, well, that's a good way to look at the world as well, isn't it? Because there's a lot of victims out there now, which is all this, like, you know, people being victims is like the new craze, I think. It's like,
it's pathetic.
No one's grateful for what they've got. All they want to do is how they've been oppressed. And...
Oh, exactly. We're living in the best times ever.
Yes.
The best times by a country mile.
Yeah.
you know, you must have talked to your grandparents somewhere down the line about what it was like after the Second World War, or what they would have known about it, where they had ration stamps, and where they had this was for 5 years. They had a curfew for 5 years, and they had food shortages, and they had, you know, they had lockdown and lights out at certain times at night, and you couldn't do this and you couldn't do that. But I, you know, they were grateful to be alive. And nowadays we've got everything, and we're moaning about everything. You know, we live in a lovely house. We overlook the Mediterranean. We've got 5 bedrooms, 5 bathrooms, 2 lounges. And we're very, very blessed. And also I work in the Middle East, and we've got a good business over there. And we're very, very fortunate with what we have. I'm very blessed with what I do have. And sometimes we need to stop and think about what we have and look at other people around the world and see how fortunate we really are.
Yeah. Let's talk a little bit about the new potential king that you've been covering for the last couple of months or so. I'm yet to be convinced. As I said, I think 90% of what comes out is rubbish, so I'm yet to be convinced. What's your take on it at the moment?
Well, I don't want to spoil the documentary that's coming out.
Yes, okay.
We've done a documentary looking at facts rather than... Because one thing I've learned in my life, it's very, very easy to say, well, that's a load of rubbish. And what I've tried to do is be objective. It's become very, very obvious that the Queen is not the natural, is not the bloodline, is not the line. And that's become blatantly obvious. But who is? And the one thing that's become very clear is that finding a monogamous generation in the royal family is close to impossible. You know, that every single generation were unfaithful. Not one of them can spell the word faithful. I mean, they're not really a very good example to us about being honourable and being faithful. So when people come along and make a claim, my job as Charlie and your job as Alex is to question them. And what we chose to do, this was a rabbit hole we stuck our head down. Both Lee and Jack Kidd, and Dave Mahoney, we decided, look, we're four lads that are locked up, and it's a bit like, you know, when you're locked in your parents' bedroom and you're told not to look in the drawers.
Yeah.
And you think, fuck it, we'll have a little look. Then you find a load of vibrators and you go, oh, that's why I shouldn't have looked. but these weren't vibrators. These were things that you went, okay, let's have a look. And it was, so what we did was, when you try and establish truth can be looked at from different perspectives. And I said the whole way through, I'm 50-50. The idea of staying 50-50 is very simple, so I don't become biased either way. I need to keep an open mind, and a mind is useless when it's closed. And there's lots of people that go, oh, no, he don't look like a king, or, oh, he's brilliant, he's a king. No, keep focused, keep it honest, keep it real, and let's look at it factually. Now, with respect to Greg, he's done an awful lot of work. Yep. He submitted his documentation to virtually every government in the world. There's a number of the governments who've responded to him in a positive manner. He also sent the documentation with the proof to 10 Downing Street. They chose to ignore it. And when he contacted them, they said, oh, no, we didn't receive it. So he took it in, registered it, and they have now received it. And we know for a fact that David Cameron had spoken to the Queen about it when he was in power. And you'll have to watch the video to find out what went on at that stage. But look, the moment that he gets... There's certain things that need to happen for him to be able to walk into Buckingham Palace. And those things, for people like you and I, will then confirm it or throw it out. If those things happen, then it's positive, and if they don't happen, it's negative. And it's a bit, you and I are both at the same T-junction, looking both ways. And we really don't know which way it's going to go. Hopefully, because I haven't seen the documentary yet, hopefully we can make a judgment. And this is where, going back to the bit, you and I can make it based on common sense. I've said the whole way through my journey, if it looks like shit and smells like shit, it probably is shit. Mm-hmm. That's an old-fashioned view. With this, there's something there. There's something definitely there. And there's, look, he submitted the documentation. Look, I've got time. I'm in lockdown. I've got time. It's not like I'm going anywhere. Mm. And while I've got time, I'll investigate.
I think human psychology, we have to be careful, because when everything's up in the air, people cling to things for safety and security and certainty.
Yeah.
And where I'm at with it is that this is something, I'm not saying he's trying to be deceitful. I think he truly thinks what he's saying, truly. And he's a very clever guy, by the way. The level of research that he's out of control.
It's unbelievable.
Oh, it's a very smart guy. I'm not knocking at all. I just think if people are just clinging on to that, is that just because they're psychologically a bit uncertain at the moment and they need to grab onto something?
It's the perfect time to do it. Mm. It's the perfect time. And this is why the governments are trying to divide us, because we're easier to control when we're divided.
Yeah.
They've always said divide and rule. So the Black Lives Matter, complete load of bollocks, complete and utter. There's not a black man in the world that I don't like or you don't like. Yeah, yeah. We all get on fine with them. They're great people. Muslims and Christians. I grew up with Protestants and Catholics. Complete and utter load of bollocks. A Protestant and a Catholic, same God, same Bible, different perception. So I've got to kill you. What a load of rubbish. When you break it down into simplicity, Sunni and Shias. When I go to Dubai during Ramadan, I go into the palace, into the Majlis for iftar. Yes, it's all men in there. I get that. But there's Sunni and Shias in there. They're sat next to each other. There's clerics at the highest level. Best of friends behind.
Only the very, very few and the politics at the top that ever caused the problems.
It's only the politicians who cause the problems. Mm. The only bad black people I know tend to work in politics. And the only bad white people I know work in politics. The rest of the world gets on fine. You know, I travel to all over the world. Iran, Iraq, Syria, Libya, Russia, China, Africa. I get on with them all. I get on with everybody. You know, I mentioned it the other day in my video when we were in Nespresso in Dubai, in the Dubai Mall, getting some more capsules for the house over there. There was a lad that was serving us from Aleppo in Syria. And my wife just turned around and said, cool, that's a bit of a mess at the moment. He's gone, nah, he said, I was back there last weekend with my parents. She said, what? He said, yeah, I flew back in there. I flew back in from Dubai. And I went with my parents. And we went out nightclubbing with all my mates. And she said, what? He said, yeah, there's a lot of film crews out here from the BBC and other channels setting up scenes. She said, are you serious? He said, yeah, a couple of years ago there was a lot of problems, but they've died out now, but they're doing it because we could do with the money coming in from the charities. Mm. And she was really cross about it, really, really cross about it. And look, the one thing that that's very, very clear, the BBC and these people who are putting out this bullshit and lies, sooner or later there's coming Judgment Day. We're in the Great Awakening. Your day will come. And you'll be held accountable for all your lies and all your deceit. Mm. And I don't believe in religion. I think it's divisive. But I believe in God and I believe in faith. And I believe in karma.
Yeah. Yeah. What comes in goes around, yeah.
Sorry, yeah. Religion is one of the most divisive things created by man. If you have faith, that's a different level. That means you can communicate. Because I learned with Buddhism, which I love Buddhism, I learned that it's not even a religion, it's an ideology. Mm-hmm. So that then you knock all that shit out of the way and go, it's faith. Have faith. Have faith in one another. Have faith in mankind. Be kind to man and woman. And don't think there's a difference between men and women. We're all the same. Just because we have different strengths, different weaknesses. Don't let the government divide you into fighting men against women. Yeah. It's all divisive. It's all corrupt.
But it's set up on purpose, isn't it? As we mentioned earlier, I think, and this may be biased, but I think this is like a far left-wing movement for the last 100 years or so, since the Federal Reserve was created.
Spot on.
I just think it's like anything now that people perceive to be, because it's all a load of bollocks, for anyone that perceives to be right of their left-wing ideology is now a racist or fascist.
Correct.
Or whatever. And it's just, George Orwell wrote about it 50, 60 years ago, and he writ it to a T.
Yeah. And Donald Trump, that's the swamp. The far left is the swamp that Donald Trump is getting draining. That the deep state and they're all linked in together. The far left and the deep state are all linked in together.
Yeah.
They're satanic, they're corrupt, and they're evil.
Mm.
But the thing is...
Go on, mate, go on.
The thing is when I was talking to David Nino Rodriguez, the boxer, he said, we're in the dangerous time now, Charlie, because when a boxer's injured, he said, they start swinging haymakers. He said, you just got to keep out of the way right now. He said, there's a lot of haymakers coming. I went, yeah.
Yeah, because Clinton went to court a couple of weeks ago, was it? And I think they're making her go to trial, are they, or something?
That'll be a show trial. She's already been removed.
Right, okay. Because she's still...
That'll be a show trial.
She's still shooting.
Just to let the public know that she's guilty. She's already been removed from public life.
So what's going to happen with, like, do you think, with Trump and everything moving forward? Obviously, they've got their apparent election in November. Is that going to go ahead? Is he going to win? Because Biden looks half cooked to me.
I think that's a very generous statement. I think he's quarter cooked or totally cooked. No, look, when I spoke to the guys the other day, they said, it'll be up to Trump whether he wants to be back in power. It'll be his decision. And I said, will he be up against Biden? And they said, the election will be something like you've never ever seen before, but they never told me any more. And I haven't pushed for any more just yet. So
that's up in the air.
It's up in the air right now. It'll either be him. If it's not him, it'll be... somebody else that will harmonize the Americans. But let's see. My gut feeling is because he's a narcissist and an egomaniac that he'll want another 4 years.
Yeah.
But look, he doesn't need it. He doesn't need it. He's done an amazing job, and it'll become very, very clear. But there's still a lot of haters out there that absolutely hate him. And I always find it funny, and this is this new generation, I find it funny where they go, I hate him being good because he... Well, what do you hate him for? Well, I hate his hair, and I hate the way he tweets, and I hate the way he talks about women. Have you ever met him? No. You know, you and I, if we're honest, we've said things in our life that are derogatory to women that we shouldn't have said, maybe after we've had 10 pints. And people can take those out of context.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I was famous years ago when a woman said to me... does this dress make me look fat? There's absolutely nothing wrong with the dress, love. It's your ass that makes you look fat. And you can say, oh, that's a derogatory comment. Yes, it is. And if you get into power, those sort of things can be taken out of context.
Of course, yeah.
And this is where it's dangerous. And I've in my life, I've met, and I'm not going to go through them again, but I've met many, many famous people who I was told were one thing. And when I met them, were completely different to what I've been told. And I was in shock.
Well, you put your subjective thing onto it as well, don't you? You create your own... determine what they're like rather than listening to everybody else.
Yeah. I remember talking to a guy, funnily enough, in a bar here in Spain, in Puerto Banús. And he came up and he went, are you Charlie Ward? And I said, yes, I am. He said, you're very different to what I really thought you were like. I said, what do you mean by that? He said, well, you look a bit of a thug. Cheers, mate. Thanks for that.
Is that wash and go you use?
It is. I wash it and it went. Yeah. But it's amazing. You get these perceptions. I realized I had a bit of a thug look when somebody tried to rob us in Miami 8 years ago. And I just decided to run after him. He had a knife, but I wasn't particularly bothered, you know. He was a kid.
Yeah, yeah.
And I chased him. We cornered him. And he'd stolen one of the girls' watches. And I basically walked straight up to him and fronted him right up. And I tell you, my backside was twitching. I was absolutely bricking it, but I wasn't going to let him know that.
Mm.
But he bricked it a lot more than me, so we got the watch back. And we de-armed him as well.
That's adrenaline.
But if, yes, it was. But if he had had a go at me, he'd have won 10 out of 10 he would have won.
Mm.
Mm. Certainly with a knife he would, but my bollocks were a little bit bigger than his.
Yeah, yeah.
Like that's, Mario, I suppose.
That's a good analogy for Trump, I think, because I don't think he's probably the nicest guy in the world or whatever, and I think he's an arrogant so-and-so and a narcissist, but he seems to be the perfect ploy. He doesn't care totally. What people throw at him. He does not care what people throw at him.
He doesn't.
In fact, I reckon he loves it, actually.
He does, and there's only one person that I love more than him right now, and it's his press secretary.
Oh, she's absolutely fantastic. And she's lovely on the eye as well, which is always an added
bonus. I tell you what, though. Like, you and I are very similar in the fact that we research. I loved her stuff so much that I had to watch her wedding video.
That's a bit weird, mate.
I fell in love with the woman. She loves her husband.
Yeah.
She's got good moral compass. She's faithful. She's honest. And she's true. Then you go, fine, now I'm going to listen to what you've got to say. Because I know your compass is right. I can trust people who are respectful and love their husbands and wives and are faithful. These are just basics in life, basics.
Yeah.
And then everything else she says just has so much more weight and so much more power.
Yeah, yeah.
But brilliant.
Yeah, she was a good appointment. Yeah, I'm happy with that.
Yeah. He is a bit of a grandmaster, isn't he? Bless him.
He is.
But he's a naughty boy. You know,
but even...
He's in trouble.
He is, but even those people who say, like, oh, is this, that, the other, he's useless, he's whatever. But when you look at his track record, he's a billionaire, he's a real estate magnate. What he's created in the world is probably, it'll knock 99.99% of people into fits, and they're still just abusing for not doing anything. It's incredible.
He's the only president in 50 years not to go to war against another country.
Yeah, I've saw that, yeah. That never gets brought up.
No, it doesn't. It doesn't.
You have Barack Obama, who dropped more bombs than anybody else in the last 50-odd years, as you say. No one bats an eyelid. He's the messiah.
Exactly. I know. But it's amazing how the media, you know, they spin this to suit their own, because the media are on their side. They're all in bed together on Big Pharma.
Who controls the media now? Because I know Murdoch had a lot to say in Britain.
Who's all the big pharmaceutical companies behind it. They're the... Right. There's only three owners of all the mainstream media, and they're all big pharma sponsors. And it's all deep state. They're all in bed together.
Mm.
So it makes it very hard to get the truth out of that. This is why you and I are quite refreshing to the public, because we're getting the truth out there.
Mm. What do you think is the cause of you going from like 50 followers to like 20-odd thousand? Do you think that was the... Greg Hallett, or do you think it was everything just...
I think it's a combination of things. I think, I've tried to keep it simple. I've tried to keep it truthful.
Mm.
And I've made it very, very clear that I'm not the Messiah. I'm just Charlie. And this is my view, but I've done an awful lot of research. I think the Greg Hallett thing definitely has brought a lot of views.
Mm.
I'm going to let you into a little story about a lovely guy called Lee Hemington. Lee Hemington has a company called BeNosy.com. It's a basically, he's an internet geek, if you want. He's an internet boy. And a really nice guy. And I'm going to give him a shout out with you guys. And he's a guy that you can get in contact with. He's a really, really good guy. And he just loved our communications, loved our videos. And he said, would you mind if I helped you promote it? I said, yeah, of course. More than willing. Now, when we started this journey of the lockdown, he just started his business, and his business literally was about to end because of the virus, the smokescreen, the global financial reset, whatever. So So he started promoting my video. So he helped promote my story out there. Mm. So I gave him a mention. My mention got him 65 new clients.
Brilliant. Yeah.
So this is what you call helping each other.
Yeah. Yeah.
He's helping me get the word out there, and I'm telling the world who helped me. And if we can get the truth out, Alex, and I would recommend him to you all day long, because he's made my subscribers go up over 20,000. He's made the viewing go up over 20,000 per video. We're getting the word out. The only downside is it's incredibly tiring, because I'm getting over 500 messages a day. I'm probably getting 150 emails a day. But if I can make people feel calm, that's maybe what I've been chosen to do. Get the truth out.
Good for you, mate. It's very honourable as well. Very honourable, because, you know, most people are just sitting in their houses now just watching Netflix and whatever. And you can use this 3 or 4 months that we've had to really dive into what's going on in the world.
Yeah, exactly.
So that's been 45 minutes, mate. Do you want to promote anything like it? I know you've got the YouTube channel and whatever.
Look, I'm just saying the same thing. If you like what we're saying, Alex and I are on the same page. You know, support what we're doing by sharing it, by subscribing to Alex and to myself, and share it to people so that we can get the truth out there. It's not about Charlie Ward. It's not about Alex Hickman. It's about the truth. I'm a 60-year-old bloke with no hair, a little bit overweight. I've lost that recently. But if I can get the word out there, get the truth out there so that people don't feel fear, because the virus hasn't got a chance of killing you, but fear has. And this second COVID-19 thing that's going to happen, I haven't even talked about this, have I? There's going to be a second wave probably coming in shortly, and that's purely to cover up the suicides and the heart attacks from when people find out the idols that they loved were all involved in very, very satanic, awful.
They've already planted the seeds for that now. Beijing, they've had a few cases and whatever. They've already planted the seeds, yeah.
Yeah, that's on its way. But no, just look, keep positive and just turn your telly off. Yeah. And if you want to find out the truth, have a dig around and then look at different perspectives. And don't take Alex's word. Don't take my word. Listen to what we've got to say and challenge us. But look at other people's perceptions and then make up your own mind based on what you've learnt. That's all I can say.
Yeah, very wise. Yeah. Charlie, thanks a lot, mate. Thanks for coming on again. I'll get
this... absolute pleasure, Alex.
Get this edited and we'll get it up live as quickly as we can.
Brilliant. Great to see you.
And you, buddy. I wish I was in Marbella, mate. Is the sun out?
It's lovely and warm today. I went for a run this morning. It was hot air this morning blowing. It was beautiful.
Don't do that to me. All the best, mate. See you later.
Thank you very much, Alex. Cheers.
Bye. Bye.